You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Manchester City deliver a hammer blow to Arsenal's hopes in the title race with a 4-1 win over the Gunners at the Etihad. Is there any way back for Arsenal now? Plus, we assess the other key results of this midweek, including Forest's crucial win over Brighton, Liverpool climbing to 6th after beating West Ham, Leicester coming from behind to draw at Leeds, and more misery for Chelsea after defeat to Brentford. And last but not least, welcome back to the Premier League, Sheffield United. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
Well, let's start where there is only one place to start, mate. Builders, the biggest game of the season. People talking of title decider or certainly title control. Manchester City host Arsenal. Arsenal have been ahead up to 8 points at some point in the table against the Manchester City that have hit banging form at the moment. I think I looked at the stats, Rob. 11 games they've played all competitions at home, won all 11, scored 40 goals. And so it was always going to be a big challenge for Arsenal. In the end, mate, it was a challenge that they weren't quite up to.
They weren't. And we'll get into the details. Just a big golfing difference in the class today and of the two teams. But I want to start at the beginning, Rob, just in terms of the teams, because it was an important part of the lineups and what happened there.
Yeah.
Pep Guardiola, I did a tactics breakdown before the game about how they've been playing with John Stones going into midfield and that midfield shape being a little bit different and all the stuff that they normally do.
Yeah.
They did it against Bayern Munich in two games. Different today, Rob, because they played pretty much a 4-4-2, really. Pretty simple. De Bruyne off of the big man, Ilanana up front. And Arsenal's point of view, Granit Xhaka was fit, Rob. That was the main concern with them. Of course, Rob Holding's continued for William Saliba. That's the only player that would take it away from their best setup. But in terms of the lineups, Rob, kind of as expected, really, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was out there. And I think I threw out in our, reading up a little bit, some people were trying to second guess Arteta. And some suggestions were, if both teams play to their own style and groove and play well, City will win the game. Does Arteta need to do something a little different? Is there a little wrinkle that he needs to do? Now, we didn't necessarily see that because I think Arteta went in with the belief of his group. I remember I watched the first game back against when they played at the Emirates. And Arsenal started the game pretty well. First off, I thought they were the better side. So I think there's a belief in the style of play, what you're trying to do. You know, so there was no Trossard, possibly instead of Jesus. I think that was one that one or two people had talked of. There was a bit of thought about whether Rob Holding was up to it, whether, I don't know, you put maybe Ben White there or could Partey drop in there. I mean, that was probably going to stretch it too much. So it was as expected, Rob. But I have to say, from pretty much the first minute through to the 90-odd whatever we finished at, Arsenal was second best.
And I think it started from the first minute of the game. The way that Man City played, and they did wrinkle it a little bit, like I just said. They did do something a little bit different that Arsenal and Arteta didn't react to. Yeah. They didn't change, given Man City's change. But from the first moment, high-press Arsenal got them trying to play out. You know, it's one of them where it's like, oh, God, here we go. And Arsenal try and play out. City are very
risky,
much up for a high-press.
Yeah, it felt risky.
And that put Arsenal in a mode of, oh, we can't play.
Yeah.
We can't get our game going.
Yeah.
You know, and they cough up the ball. They try and hit it a little bit longer or it gets forced. They give up the ball. And then Man City, we're back in this mode, Rob, where they have a grip on the game. Possession, territory, it's ours, thank you. Diddle, you know, through the centre. When it goes back to Arsenal, high press, you're going to give us the ball back.
Yeah.
And that was the first part, I thought, that Pep and City took control with. Yeah. The second part is what we did a little breakdown at half-time, is Kevin De Bruyne and his position, his relationship with Erling Haaland, and how that worked. Explain that.
Well, we saw it slightly different because often what we've seen with City is Gundogan and Kevin De Bruyne going as 2-8 either side of Erling Haaland. What was different with Pep is that Gundogan probably sat more often than not next to Rodri in midfield, so they were a two, and he played Kevin De Bruyne almost as a second striker. So it was like two up front. And then what would often happen is Erling Haaland's threat, size, pace, physicality, often occupied both Holding and Gabriel. He played between them, the two, and it allowed Kevin De Bruyne to find and exploit spaces either side of Thomas Partey. And Kevin De Bruyne, with his ability, with his football intelligence and his technical skills, basically ran the game from that position. Absolutely ran the game. I mean, we picked up on it early and sort of said after 10 minutes, wow, De Bruyne's picking up spots. Wonder what Arsenal are going to do. Well, what in the end was there was confusion between Partey, whether he should go. Rob Holding was caught between going and worrying about the threat of Haaland. There was more space in that area for Man City to do damage. And I think you said on air, it wasn't a day for the Bernardo Silvas in the wide areas. But they had an important role to play, Rob, and it was a point well made that they have to stay there for De Bruyne's position to be effective. If they start narrowing in, De Bruyne has less space to move in. Arsenal are better equipped to deal with it. But by staying out and not being as involved...
Stretch out the City team, basically.
And then we just saw Haaland and Kevin De Bruyne pretty much dominate the central areas of the pitch. And I want to make 2 points on Erling Haaland, who some have suggested they're a worse team with him in there. I thought today was a day that showed you Erling Haaland brings another dimension to City that's useful in games against decent opposition. Because you can go back to front quickly, he can hold the ball up, he's threatened behind, stretches a back line, and this allows Kevin De Bruyne and maybe Gundogan's and Bernardo Silva's on the day to find those pockets of space in midfield and hurt the opposition.
Pep's such a smart manager, Rob, isn't it? And I guess if you sit down and you look at this Arsenal team, okay, we know what they do.
Yeah.
They play with Odegaard and Granit Xhaka either side of Thomas Partey. I think they'll push on and mark our general central midfield players, which was Rodri and Ilkay Gundogan.
Gundogan today.
And we'll let Kevin De Bruyne be a bit of a problem for Thomas Partey.
Yeah.
And we also know, by the way, that if we do go direct, they're kind of a bit weak there at the moment without Saliba.
Mm.
Erling Haaland can absolutely dominate Rob Holding.
And Gabriel, to be fair.
And Gabriel. And, you know, Mikel Arteta afterwards, Rob, said that City were very, very direct.
Yeah.
There was the one time, of course, the first goal. There wasn't many times Arsenal tried a high press because they got, as I said earlier, they were kind of pinned in their own half. But the long ball comes up, really long ball, and Haaland does a brilliant job of taking care of it. Takes a turn, plays in De Bruyne, 1-0. And that kind of was where, I don't know whether Arteta, Rob, did he miss a trick and not, because, by the way, we can speak to this. Because I've done that a zillion times.
Yeah.
And I know what it's like when, in my year, it was, in my era, it was Bergkamp.
Yeah.
And I've got him to worry about behind me. Mm-hmm. I've got central midfield players to worry about. And you pull people in to help you. Come narrower. You come and help me here. If he goes behind me, my centre-backs, mark him. Well, there was so much space.
Yeah.
Rob Holden didn't really want to do it.
No.
And Thomas Partey didn't really want to do it. I just think whether you look back at that, if you're Mikel Arteta, Rob, does he think, you know what, Granit Xhaka marking Rodri, who cares?
Mm.
And it was the other one. And Odegaard pushing on against Ilkay Gundogan. Who cares? Let one of those have the ball.
Let one of those be free.
Don't allow him. I mean, if someone's got to stay man-to-man on him, they've still got a spare guy.
It's a good point, and it's somewhere I wanted to go with the podcast because I don't think there should be too many regrets for Arsenal, wherever it ends up. Disappointment today, and it ends up 4-1, we'll talk about maybe some of the detail in the goals. But just in terms of Mikel Arteta, Rob, and I was saying, because it's his first title challenge. He's been part of Pep's group, and he's been number two, and we've seen what he's done early part of the season. Up to 30 games have been immaculate, and played some brilliant football and have thrilled us. But in a game like today, Rob, I was kind of put myself in his shoes because you said, you know, you see it. You're at touch level, and I've stood there a couple of times. When I've watched games a couple of times, the manager back in the day said to me, come in the dugout and see it from there. Sometimes you don't see things so well when you're down at that level.
But haven't they got technical staff
so
upstairs?
That's what I'm saying. Is this part of the learning for Mikel Arteta that maybe on games like that it's not going well, maybe sometimes you don't always see it, it doesn't come as clear. I mean, we've got great angles and we've got a tactical cam that gives us a full picture. So we can see the pockets there. But when you're down there in the weeds and looking into the game, maybe it doesn't stand out as much. Is part of his learning in those situations, like, let me check upstairs, what are you seeing? Is there something I could be doing? I'm not saying it isn't. I'm not saying it would have worked or not. I'm just saying that he's learning, Rob, and today has to be a learning for him in terms of where he wants to take this team going forward. There are going to be days, hopefully for Arsenal, in big competitions, whether it be domestic or in Europe, that they're getting hurt somehow, and he needs to be able to deal with that hurt quickly.
I'll give you another angle on it. Maybe he still believes, and by the way, Man City don't have 12 players. If they have an advantage somewhere...
Yeah, it looks like they do, to be honest.
Yeah, Arsenal also have an advantage somewhere.
Yeah.
And whoever has the ball and possesses well can take advantage of that. If you look at this lineup on a bit of paper... We'd be like, well, it's Partey, Odegaard and Granit Xhaka against two midfield players then. De Bruyne's pen is number 10.
Yeah,
if Arsenal could have had the ball for large periods
and three versus two.
De Bruyne maybe coming back at Rob to help. But he doesn't want to do that.
Yeah.
It could have been different in there. It could have been different. This is a classic example of whoever has better possession, their system is going to work over the others.
Your will.
And maybe Arteta felt like, if we just got our passing going, we can give them problems. But they never got their passing going, did they? No, they never got it going. And they haven't had it going over the last few weeks, which is another reason why he might have taken a defensive step and say, actually...
And again, we talked about it and we don't know the answer. I wondered whether he didn't want to show negativity. Like, hold on, this is City, we're going to change. Actually, we've got where we've got doing something.
We can take advantage.
Let's go with our advantage. And listen, he was brave. It didn't work out for him. Maybe it's part of his learning. But in the end, those two centrally, Erling Haaland and Kevin De Bruyne, dominated the football game and pretty much won it for City.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at DiscountTire.com. Discount Tire. Let's get you taken care of.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Right. We're going to go to both of these clubs, Rob.
Yeah.
And let's make a little assessment right now. Arsenal.
Yeah.
Where are you in terms of... I think we people who regularly watch this or listen to our podcast know we've spoke all season about how Arsenal have done an incredible job getting
to
where they are. We've talked about it's a learning curve for these young players. And I think we'd agree now that they ain't quite got the tools yet.
Not yet.
In physical, you know, all aspects of being a pro of winning a Premier League title against a team as good as that.
Yeah.
All that being said, right, and that's obviously important stuff, have Arsenal disappointed, you know, these last few weeks? And it wasn't lost today. You know, the last couple of games, for example.
The three draws, wasn't it?
Yeah, can't beat West Ham United, you can't beat bottom club Southampton.
Liverpool, if the nature of their drop-off... Yeah.
Again, we're not going to take anything away from where they're at. They're like 16 or 15, 16 points better than anybody else, by the way, the United City. But has it been a bit disappointing the way they've fallen away again?
Because it happened in the Champions League last season and Spurs nipped in there for top four spot. It's happened again, so that's a worry. But I think a lot of the outcome, the opinion of Arsenal will be led by what happens from now to the end of the season, Rob, for me. If if from now to the end of the season drops off a bit and it's a bit it leaves a bit of a bad taste. Yeah, I think it shows we can go again. We've seen a number of teams, including Liverpool, go close one year and win it the next. Now, again, I'm not saying Arsenal are ready to win it right now because I'm still not sure they've got enough tools, as you say, and experience. When you saw that Liverpool team, it had a great mix of talent, of experience, of ability, of presence, of physicality.
Manager and experience.
Manager and all those things. Arsenal are still getting there.
Yeah, they're building.
A good summer of building. I mean, Declan Rice has been talked of. You get a quality Declan Rice, a quality midfield player and another striker.
Yeah,
and keep
building.
The group you've got. Because one of the things that stood out today, and again, you mentioned the subs that Pep can make and the subs that Arsenal make are night and day. But he's built a squad and he's got the finances to build a group of players that's incredible. Arsenal are on the way with this group. They've shown after 30 games, Rob, they were right up there and they were leading. All of a sudden, it's fallen away. They've got to then build with what they've got and go again. Mm.
Just switching over to Manchester City, Rob, on this. I mean, talk about like trying to compare the two, right? You've got literally the finished article in Man City, champions, that bring in Erling Haaland, and you have, you know, a group in Arsenal that nowhere near the finished article. So that. But in terms of the finished article, in terms of what we're seeing now from Pep's Man City, and I don't want to get into a sickly kind of, you know, loving with Man City, but it's blimmin' remarkable.
I think at times, though, Rob, because it's Pep, because of money, because of the football club, we don't sometimes give... Everybody's almost felt like, and it's true that it'd be brilliant for Arsenal to win it. You know, everybody comes with that line, that it's a different team and it's Arsenal and all the history. But that takes away from City, from the position they've been in, to keep hunting, to keep winning, to keep chasing. They've taken 5 years of Liverpool and wrung Liverpool out in the end, winning by points and that. They've taken an Arsenal with an 8-point gap and thing and wrung them out and drawn it back. And they don't sometimes get enough credit. I said today in the studio, the headlines all season is Arsenal winning it or Arsenal bottling it. And it doesn't do enough credit to Man City, by the way, the team who could win it three times on the bounce. You know, and win it with inverted fullbacks when we didn't know what they were. Win it with a false nine when you need to have a striker. Then you get a striker and people say, no, they're not as good a team with a guy at the top. And win it again. I mean, Pep continues to push it. We've talked about the defensive side. There's a balance that's changed at City that's been helpful, that's important. Yep. That some people thought Pep wouldn't go to. He's all about the beautiful football. He's all about possession. Well, let me tell you, he's changed.
A little bit.
He's changed a little bit to make him better.
Spoke about it,
the
we?
Balance is you know, very early on the season, Rob, I had a phrase of saying the best balanced team in the country was Arsenal. Because Saliba, they had the best defensive record and they were scoring goals for fun up front. That's changed. Defensively, 10 goals in the last four games. Defensively, bad mistakes, individual errors. Whereas Man City have got the balance back and better. Arsenal's balance has gone a little bit the other way.
Rico Lewis, the period in the season where he came in and he looked pretty good, but it was around the time where they started to drop a few points, a few bad results. And that change of bringing an extra defender in, it was Nathan Ake or it was Akanji or it was Dia, you know, to establish themselves into that group, changed everything.
Yeah.
And that has made a big difference to their balance, to their defensive physicality. We're now, I mean, there was a moment when they're all kind of...
Yeah, there's a little bit of push and shove, wasn't there?
And we're like looking at each other like, look at the size of City.
Yeah, yeah.
All of a sudden.
Rodri and.
Yeah, Diaz came in there. Haaland was in there. Carl Walker's a big guy. Yeah. I mean, it's a big physical team now, as well as being super silky. So it is remarkable what the football that they play. And are we looking at City now, Rob? Until Pep. And by the way, just on Pep, there was a few shots today, and we'd often pull some packages together of video, of Pep.
Today, yeah.
But we didn't get around to it today. But I can't believe how fired up he is still.
Yeah, yeah.
Still, after all the seasons, he's still wound up like this.
They score the first goal, which is probably built out of how they've realised that they can go to Hull and he combines, De Bruyne scores. He goes running to the touchline, grabs Edison over.
Edison.
And starts hammering him about his distribution. And I don't know whether he wanted him to go long or what he was playing or how he was playing. But like the drive and the, you know, there was one with the, there was a free kick where somebody came in behind Jack and just caught his thing. It wasn't a foul. And the referee gave Man Arsenal the thing. He was up and he... I mean, that must be the drive that you go in every day, Rob, that drives you as a player to keep giving of your best.
Yeah. I mean, it was a day through for the central players today. Often the wide players, you know, and Pep talks about it, literally talks about it, about talking, attacking the outside, attacking the inside.
Yeah,
today,
it was inside,
he stretched out Arsenal and said, you know what, they're weak in the middle, let's attack through there. And that was the main
thing. Let me tell you one thing I took out of the game as well, and it was just a little point, but it kind of stuck with me. It happened three times in the game, and I remember making a note. And it was Jack Grealish, my friend, who's the poster boy, really. You know, the hair, the look, the way he plays. He's on top of his form at the moment, did an interview before the game, and he's chirpy, and he's looking forward to it. I wrote down three times, Rob, on a day when it's not really his day, it's not a Grealish day, he sprinted at full pace to get back to defend Bukayo Saka.
He's done that multiple times now.
And I'm thinking, you know, this is a footballer, Rob. This is a technical guy. This is an artist who's in the team to be thing. But he's obviously now bought in. He's obviously driven maybe through the manager, through the other good pros he sees every week, with good habits, who have got driven. He's become Man City clone now. And it wasn't his day today, but he realised that running back and disarming Saka was part of his role. And that's the other thing that Pep gets out of. Great, great players. They know their job. They know that they've still got to do the other side.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
One more thing to mention, Rob, before we get on to maybe quickly with them, kind of the bigger picture for the rest of the season. We had a record broken today, my friend. Erling Haaland, 33 Premier League goals.
In a 38-game season
is a record. It's the most ever. He's got 29 appearances, 33.
I mean, more goals. 49 goals in all competitions.
49 all competitions. Just a quick line on him. I mean, he's been everything that everybody expected.
He's been more. I would say, Rob, he's been more than everybody expected. Because some weren't sure. Do you remember, let's go back to the Charity Shield, the Community Shield, what it is. And remember Darwin Nunez and him?
Yeah,
on
they were
new
players.
And Nunez scored and everyone was saying this. And
who's going to get more goals?
He could put over the top. It was always going to take a while. And it was interesting. I think Graham Lasso made a great stat where he said, I think for every 20 touches, he scores a goal or something.
Terms of his touches, Premier League touches the ball. Every 20 touches,
which is just an incredible number. That he's not totally involved. I thought today his involvement in his option for the team was as important as I've seen him.
Yeah.
And if that's Sergio Aguero, you can't play that way. If that's false nine, Phil Foden, you can't play that way. Today, against a good Arsenal team who are coming to win the game and get a lead at the top of the table, the ability to go into him, his touch is better
than people think. Occupied both centre-halves, didn't he? Occupied both of them.
Both of them. He bullied them. He outskilled them. He assisted De Bruyne. Yeah. He scored himself a goal. I thought that was an all-round performance of a dimension that Pep's got that he can go to in times of need.
A number nine, mate. There's lots of talks of false number nines, and they can do that, but that's a proper
number nine.
Proper number nine, the world's best number nine right now. All right, just to summarise, Rob, in terms of the title race now, we're kind of talking as if this is all over.
Yeah.
And Arsenal have
it feels
fell away.
That way, doesn't it?
It does feel that way, but mathematics-wise...
This is the Premier League and nothing can surprise you, but based on where we are, I said the only way Arsenal can win it is going into the Etihad and winning and not just grabbing the points, grabbing the power and grabbing the momentum and saying this is ours and we're going to win out. It just feels like that opportunity's gone now.
I think so. I mean, it'll be one of the most astonishing final few weeks of all time if Man City somehow don't find a way of finishing this off.
So I'll chuck out there. I think they've got, was it 8 Premier League games? 7?
7 left.
7 Premier League games. Possibly 3 Champions League games. 2 semi-finals and a final.
Yeah.
And 1 FA Cup. 11 games. There's one bad performance in those 11 games for City. There's one bad performance. Not one day that's not great. Could be a Champions League semi-final. It could be an FA Cup final.
It could be a Premier League game.
One day.
But they need more than one for Arsenal.
For Arsenal, it's more than one. And so it takes us to, and it doesn't have to be a long conversation now because we've got plenty of time, the treble, my friend. Sort of conversation that's not been born that much because of what Arsenal were doing and people think. I mean, since Manchester United not been done, incredible feat, FA Cup.
It's been done by Liverpool, but it was a league cup, not the FA Cup.
Back in the 80s,
Steve Nichols sent me a text there has been a treble done.
We're always bowing to that great Liverpool team and Stevie Nick, friend of the podcast. But in terms of what that would mean, Rob, it takes Pep and Man City to another level, doesn't it?
It does. Then we're into that conversation of like.
Best ever
Premier League era, and you know we got to talk best ever top flight, like top European, flight of English football of all time. Now there's tons of. We don't need to do that now.
Yeah.
But that's what you're talking about, and that Man United side. I mean that Champions League final and all those celebrations.
That was in our pump, wasn't it? We knew all we that. Know, we,
yeah, that was astonishing to watch. But City do it differently, don't they? Even that final Man United, they get the goal. It's kind of really last ditch. But this City team, I feel like they do it in such a dominating way that I haven't seen before, Rob. I just haven't. And we'll see whether they can. Real Madrid is an incredibly difficult...
Two games against Real Madrid. Yeah. They're going to play United in the FA Cup final. Of all teams who want to stop them. That could be anything. Yeah. What a great game that's going to be.
Yeah.
Flying along, ticking along, absolutely.
I feel a bit disappointed though.
Yeah,
that game.
I've written the same thing down. I just got a bit shame. We didn't see the Arsenal, who could have really tested Manchester City. That's my biggest disappointment. What I would say, and I just wanted to finish on this, Rob, that it was around 70 minutes on the clock. The Arsenal fans, you could hear them in the Etihad. Singing for Arsenal, we'll be getting behind the players. It was almost like they'd appreciated what's gone
where
on to this
come
point.
From, Rob.
And
they've,
what they've come
they've,
fifth in
huge
fifth.
Leap, huge leap from
and
from last
they,
year.
They were you know they were beaten by a better team today. Mikel Arteta said it. You can see it with your eyes, and hopefully they can finish off the season in good form. And listen, who knows? Win the next five games,
add
get 15
some
more
in the
points.
Summer.
Yeah,
spend some money in the summer and try and increase
90,
the quality.
90 points as well would be a real. Yeah. Step up and a mark for this Arsenal team.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right, mate, other games. Lots of games this midweek. I mean, there's a lot of games now, given the World Cup, and there's the jamming a lot of games in. Over yesterday and today, Nottingham Forest, Rob, was a big winner today. My goodness.
Massive winner.
This is a massive, incredible result, 3-1 against Brighton, which lifts them, as I look at my league table.
Lifts them into...
to 17th.
Just
outside.
Just a point outside, of Leicester.
But
with Leicester and Leeds roaring, and we'll talk about that a little bit in a minute, but yeah. It's a Forest team that missed a penalty through Brennan Johnson to open the game. They go 1-0 down against Brighton, then they come back just before half-time, get a second and a third goal, and the scenes at the end with Steve Cooper and the City ground, and Gibbs White did an interview and was talking about how they still believe in themselves very much. And I've got a real affinity for Steve Cooper, that it's been difficult. I'm so delighted he's been given the chance to keep Forest in. There was certainly a period where I think ownership group were thinking we've got to change. We've seen change doesn't necessarily mean anything. And he's been given a chance. What I like about him, Rob, he has a plan. He has a plan.
He had a good plan the weekend.
He had a great plan with Liverpool. He has a plan against Brighton. And I know it's a Brighton team that may be disappointed from the semi-final of the FA Cup. But I like a guy who's trying and prepared and trying things. And listen, he's another who'll be learning. It'll be a great learning curve if he can get through. And they've just got the capacity, certainly at home. And home form's been magnificent for them. I think 70-odd% of the
dropped
of
off a bit recently, but I think
hasn't
in
been
general,
quite as good. Yet. Yeah, but they've got with home form and him in charge. I still think they've got capacity to win games.
They've got winning a couple. They've won seven games, Rob. Yeah. And we always think like 9 or 10 to get safe. They've so still got work to do.
Yeah.
And that result now is an awful one for others down there. You know, you look at Everton, Rob, 28 points, second from bottom right now.
Yeah.
Leeds we'll get to in a second. So huge result for them. Let's just jump to West Ham United, Rob. West Ham 1, Liverpool 2. Feeling that Liverpool finishing
just
strong.
Yeah.
They're finding their way and their front players are coming back into form and they're winning games. And they've still got a chance of the top four. There's six games remaining. There's a six-point gap, I believe. Yep, there is to Man United.
Points. It's going to be really
difficult.
Tough team. Yeah, really.
But they'll
tough,
keep going.
Yeah, they'll keep going. It was interesting. I don't know if there was a couple of interviews out with Klopp. Who was talking about getting ready for next season.
Yeah,
he's already starting to think about his successor. He's talking about giving the guys a three-week holiday, then getting back. I think he's saying July 8th or July 10th
or something.
July 6th, I heard that he wants them back in.
The internationals,
these internationals with the
guys get a few days
league
more.
And all that.
Yeah.
But he's already, I think, revved up for what next season's going to be. The interesting point with Liverpool is how much money does he spend? Does he get an opportunity to bring in the areas he wants?
Yeah.
And you've talked about it. This change of system is something if he's going to go they'll want to do their reps and do their work early on so they're in good shape to start the season.
Yeah. So good for them and good for Liverpool. They've waited a long time, Liverpool fans, and waited to find some form and some momentum. It's late.
Just coming late,
but we'll see.
Story, my friend. West London. Chelsea Football Club.
Oh, blimey.
Played Brentford. Now, I lived in London, spent many a day at Griffin Park, the Brentford Old Stadium. I used to go and watch Brentford on a regular basis, in all the leagues, Rob, down there. And at the time, Chelsea were winning Champions League and FA Cups and league titles.
And
Brentford were in like the third tier of English football. So Brentford go to Chelsea, Stamford Bridge, beat them 2-0. Probably would feel that, in terms of possession and the way they play, better structure. Better run team. Was that four straight defeats now for Frank?
Five straight defeats for Frank.
Talk of Pochettino coming in the next week, but we're hearing Frank will still be in charge.
So let's talk
about
that.
Pochettino will be in the background. How does that feel?
Well, it's two ways of looking at it. I think we look at it differently here.
Yeah.
I get it that he doesn't want to take the reins right now.
Why?
Well, because it's a tough situation immediately to get into and get good results. If you finish the last, what they got left now? Six games. And they lose another three or four.
Dare I say, it's not about the next six games for him.
Yeah,
it's about
does
it's
he
about
want to be
learning.
Tarnished with this team and this current season?
I hear you. Okay, sorry. Let
no,
you
no,
finish.
No. Just I still think, Rob, that he can be really close to it, watching, of course, studying all the games. Yeah. Get a sense around the training ground of what players are like if you can do that.
Yeah.
You've got a good argument as well. I'm just saying, like, why when the confidence is rock bottom, when the fans are a little bit edgy, six games, if it's still bad, it just might throw a little bit of a negative tinge to it as it starts out.
Well, I know his record, inverted commas, you know, the Premier League record and the stats and that. But this is the Chelsea's position is beyond that. Chelsea's position is, for me, if it was me, I would say, get yourself in the door. Frank can still be front of house. I want to know about players, Rob. I want to try some systems. I want to see, you know, personalities. I want to get in. I want to see if Aubameyang could be rehabilitated or not. I want to know about Pulisic. I want to see Ziyech. These are all the little things.
Can't he see them without being the top man?
He could, but from distance, he's just... When you're working for them, when somebody's in charge, it's different. It's different, Rob, than the guy standing there. And I don't know. And you maybe make a good point.
Listen, I ain't convinced on it. He gets a sense of when the owner says, "Well, we're going to sell him." Yeah, whoa. No.
The way
he works in the training ground, I want to keep him.
I can see something.
I'm just saying whether he can do that.
He can maybe do
not
that.
Being
maybe that's the compromise that's going on behind the scenes. Mm. The other one I chucked at you, and again, it's not a huge point, but. I don't think it would do Frank Lampard any harm, and I don't know what the situation is. And if he could be part of Pochettino's staff, might be his assistant. I know he's got a team, but a named, I think it would do Frank well in terms of learning.
Posh doesn't care about Frank Lampard.
No, I know.
He's not there to teach him.
I know
he doesn't.
He'll
bring his own staff in.
I know he doesn't. But from Frank's point of view...
Oh, yeah, great for him.
I'm saying if you could get the opportunity. I'm also saying for Chelsea... Frank might be the buffer between the fans and, you know, there's a few ex-Spurs, and if things don't go well, the ex-Spurs thing will come out. And
do you think Chelsea, given what Frank's done at the club, and some great in the first season, but on a bad run, is it beneficial for that still to be part of the first team picture? Or, Frank, we love you.
Is there value in Frank?
For Frank, of course. He will learn a ton. Another somebody to work with. Stays at the club that's his club, that he loves the club. Yeah. I just don't know whether a clean break is maybe better for Poch and the new regime coming in.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing. Yeah. I'm just saying from Frank's point of view, I don't think it would be the worst thing for him.
No.
To try and be part of a group and learn and see and understand and maybe help his career go on to the next thing.
We'll jump on quickly into the next thing in a second, Rob, but how is this happening? How is it? Chelsea? They're
the fifth team in London right now, Chelsea. They're the fifth team in London. I did a note. So Arsenal above them, Tottenham are above them, Brentford are above them, Fulham are above them. The fifth team in London.
Brentford are 8 points.
It's incredible, mate.
We didn't see the game in full detail today, but all these players, they're not ready or not up to it. I mean, we ain't got time now, but it's still astonishing to me.
It's an absolute story.
They can be, the results are that bad given $700 million.
Yeah, and the quality of player, just look
That's what I'm saying. Where's the quality?
The quality
have they got quality?
Yeah, they have got quality.
Why not?
We're not
you just expect it to be a bit better in terms of the results right now. Other games, mate. Wolves 2, Crystal Palace 0.
Yeah.
Done a good job, by the way.
By the way, Lopetegui got into the job. They were bottom of the table, mate.
Yeah.
Bottom of the table.
He's done
going
a sneaky,
nowhere.
Sneaky good job.
Unai Emery time.
Very,
good
very
job.
Good job.
Talking of Unai Emery, Aston Villa 1, Fulham 0. Villa sit fifth.
Amazing.
Fifth, above Liverpool and Tottenham. I mean,
incredible
experience, understanding, better football. Scored in every game since he's taken charge of the football club. Seen better, you know, Tyrone Mings, who looked like, couldn't get in Stevie's team at one point. Captaincy taken off him, rehabilitated.
Great example of the importance of the coach and what difference they can make.
Yeah,
and you know when we look at Manager of the Year, and we'll get there a little
later.
But
isn't that the Chelsea bit that you say when we say talent and we say there is talent there, but it's not being used right, worked right.
Yeah, and I agree with that. But I'm still astonished they can't. But anyway. But Manager of the Year conversation will definitely be in there for Unai Emery. It will be for Eddie Howe.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of others. We'll see how Pep gets on with this season. But no, very good. And the last one, Rob. I left it last because I had a good look at this game.
Yeah.
Leicester went to Elm Road and they got a 1-1 draw. Leeds
1-0 down.
Leicester City 1.
Yeah, second half.
It was Sinisterra
Yeah, with a goal. He got injured, actually. He had to come off, didn't he?
Yeah, and Jamie Vardy scores in the 80th minute. Kind of vintage Vardy.
Yeah, gets played to him.
Fired up. Yeah. Big celebration. Yeah. I just, from this team, my first note in the first kind of 25, 30 minutes is Leicester a different level to Leeds.
Yeah.
Leicester a good side, Rob.
Yeah.
Back to the same point.
Yeah.
Different manager.
Yeah,
talented players. They looked
might get a
control
out
possession.
Of
Madison was running the game.
Yeah.
Tielemans gets a goal. See the goal?
Yeah,
see the
strike? Beautiful strike. Just offside, wasn't it?
Just offside. I just thought, looking at them, wow. Dean Smith and
he's got them organised,
Shakespeare,
hasn't he? Got them in a
decent
JT, spot. Yeah.
Organised. And they look like they're playing with a bit of passion again. I mean, Brendan Rodgers, mate. You know, some people are saying that he shouldn't have lost his job. He's put them into a terrible situation.
They almost became, I felt when I watched you, a bit passive. Like, Leicester need an edge. Jamie Vardy comes on, scores, give the fans some.
Yeah.
They play, when they play with an edge, they're
because
a different level.
They should not be down there.
Level.
They should not be down
but
there.
But if they do the nice, football nicey-nicey, they're not as good as they think when they do it that way.
I just come away from that game, and I know Leeds United, you know, expect to go ahead, and you want to. They are not as good as Leicester. And based on that, Leicester, for me, will
Leicester
find a way out of it.
I've always thought Leicester will. Leeds worry me.
And Leeds massively worry me.
Leeds worry me.
With...
They had a great chance, didn't they? Patrick Bamford on four posts as
Patrick Bamford, Rob. And I know what he's done in the past.
Yeah.
And I know, bless him, he's had some bad injury issues. Yeah. He doesn't move very well at the moment. He's not running well. He doesn't look comfortable. He can't... And I understand why a manager that's fairly new in is going to want to play Patrick Bamford.
Yeah.
Mistake for me. It's a mistake. When you've got Wilfred Nyonto on the bench and a couple
of
others, you've got Jorginho Rutter. There's a record signing, Rob. Record signing at Leeds United. And even playing.
Yeah.
I mean, that money could be used. I mean, that's why Victor Orta, the director of football, is getting stick now from the fans. Yeah, like, hang on a minute. We spent a lot of money on players that aren't even playing. So I didn't like that selection. And maybe he can stay in the team and score the goals necessary to get him out of trouble.
Yeah.
Rodrigo on the other side of it. Loved it. Loved his performance, Rob.
Loved
his performance.
Energetic.
Absolutely worked his socks off. Got stuck in, fired the fans up. That's quality. Play him up front.
Yeah.
Play him up front
and
somebody else in behind.
Yeah.
Harrison came on. I think he wasn't starting.
Harrison
again.
Started, yeah.
No, not Harrison. Aronson.
Aronson, yeah.
So they got really good, quick,
energetic
players.
Yeah.
But it's still defensively.
Yeah.
And Patrick Bamford, what a chance it was for them to score.
And it was a great draw for everybody else down there. You draw games against your rivals, Rob, and it gives everybody else down there a bit of a break.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, there's a quality from Leeds United. You know, the cross from Harrison, from Sinisterra's header
ball.
Into the ground was a great ball. But Leicester are better, and Leicester are going to show that in the remaining five games with the quality, with the edge, I think, to get out of the trouble. But it's going to be great. It's going to be a great fight down there.
It's going to be a great fight down there and plenty of teams in it. Listen, mate, we're going to wrap it up for this weekend. I think we're all looking forward to tonight, the biggest game of the season. But the chasing champions had a bit too much for the leaky lose.
One more thing, my friend. We should tip our hat a little bit to Sheffield United. Sheffield
getting
United.
Ahead of myself. The
Blades. The Blades found themselves
promotion
again.
Paul
Heckenbottom was still...
Came in after Chris Wilder.
Stayed
in touch with the club. Has done a good job. It's never easy, especially big club. Second time down in the Championship.
Yeah, second year there.
Yeah.
We're going to see a little bit more of Oliver McBurnie. Sander Berger, a player that
McBurnie.
I really like.
Mostly loves Sander Berger.
John Egan, I think, still at centre-back. And a few others that they've added in. So Sheffield United, and that's the ones that have been... Ones that are still on the parachute money. The next 3 years, because you'll still get some of that Premier League money. Have an advantage, mate, when it comes to... keeping players and buying some new ones to get back up again.
One of our stats guys told us today, which is quite an interesting point, that the playoff finals, the Championship playoff finals, is May 27th. So we'll know the three teams that come up before we'll know the teams that go down.
Middlesbrough.
May the 28th.
Middlesbrough. My old team.
I just gave you a lead in there to get your Middlesbrough in there. Aren't they playing Sunderland?
Might be.
Ooh.
Tony Mowbray, an old teammate of mine, a legend of Middlesbrough, is the manager of Sunderland.
Local rivals.
Let's
not make this podcast about you, mate.
Okay.
It was about the big game. It was our big game, top of the table. Chasing champions, too good for the leaky leaders. KDB inspired City, four goals with one reply from Rob Holding for Arsenal. City, just too good for them on the day. We'll be back on Sunday. That's April the 30th. We'll recap match week 34. There's loads of great games down at the bottom end of the table as a fight for relegation and then form Liverpool take on Spurs at Anfield. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's a good night from him. Good night. Good night.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.